Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
a molecular tour of dopamine. Dopamine is known as a neurotransmitter, and as such, its job is to actually send messages inside the brain. So there's an array of neurotransmitters, and dopamine, it's got various things. If you don't have enough dopamine, you eventually have Parkinson's disease. You begin shaking. Eventually, you lose control of your muscles. You're not able to swallow. Various things happen as the dopamine in the brain disappears. And so it's a fairly useful little molecule. And I've given various molecular tours just as part of my cardiac rehab to remember things. And so what happens is that I go back and I say, oh, can I remember caffeine? Which I can, sort of. I can remember it as a pentagon sitting on top of a hexagon, various, I think, two nitrogens in each part, and four methyl groups, and two oxygens on the bottom. But apart from that, it's getting a bit woolly. So doing these molecular tours, you go back and you sort of test yourself, and this is the entire idea, is to look at something at one time, get a reading of it in your head, assemble the memory, and try and speak it back. Now, the great thing about this is that for various molecules, you will get to have a tour of it. Now, of course, dopamine has to be... anything with nitrogen in it is a little bit interesting. Anything which is flat, which has the pi electrons or an aromatic ring, a phenol ring, is also very interesting. It's sort of a bit hard to comprehend some of these glycerines, these fats, where all the... It's too many degrees of freedom. It's you know, half and half. I sort of like warfarin and caffeine. They all hinge on binding all these complex things to a single carbon atom. Things go on from that. So they sort of, if you can imagine four sort of dinner plates coming out of a single carbon atom. It's not quite that. I think warfarin, that's, I think you, three, and caffeine, you've got two things coming out. Oh, caffeine's got it's in a ring. But it's sort of interesting to look at that type of stuff where it goes along. I suppose the other thing to remember, which is really useful, is the colours of atoms. When you look at it and look at the structural formula. So the structural formula is C something or other. I think, dopamine is C8. I have to work it out. N1, there's only N1, and I'd have to work out the number of two oxygens in it. And how you sort of remember that is that so the structural formula gives you a clue on it. The structural formula is that letter formula. Or, and that gives you sort of a count of the various atoms of it and gives you an idea of the size of it. And then when you look at it, you can look at the line diagram. And this has got special codes for it. It's assumed there's so many carbons, you don't actually write the carbon down. Carbons are assumed at either end of a line. Well, there can be double lines indicating a double bond. And hydrogens aren't drawn because it's assumed that if anything's unaccounted for, there's a hydrogen on the outside of that. It may be sometimes the hydrogens are written on the outside of amines, or sometimes the hydrogens written on the outside of oxygens. Definitely on the outside of oxygens and amines to give you a clue. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is to look at the ball space filling diagram. Well, this is where colours come into it, and you can sort of see how it can flex out of the page. It gets a bit more angular. You can work out what's going on with it. And with colours, you've got black as carbon, white is oxygen, blue is white is hydrogen, red is oxygen, and blue is nitrogen. So instantly you can actually look and visually remember your molecule. And if the molecule's a cute shape, there's one shape which was I'll have to go back and remember that molecule. It's a triple hexagon of of carbon, and you can have a di one of it can form an X-wing molecule, which is really good. Or you can form, this is three rings of carbon, that can have oxygen sticking out and various things to form a red dye. And so it's really interesting, that type of stuff, because when it's flat, you have molecular orbitals over a fair distance, and being over a fair distance, it starts to encroach on being a little bit metallic, a little bit of a semiconductor. And some of the chemistry is interesting there, and being a little bit of a semiconductor explains why it's quite a lot of a dye. And of course, dyes which have moving parts which arrange themselves for different acidic conditions, like phenolphthalein, is also a really interesting thing to go into. So this is just me recording everything. But dopamine, it's sort of like it's the essential aspect of it. If you want to live well into old age and not have Parkinson's disease, and not begin to shake and lose abilities to do even basic functions, you have to produce sufficient dopamine of it. And of course, some drugs that you take replace the dopamine levels of it. That's how it operates. So dopamine's a very essential thing. It's not like caffeine or nicotine where you get a fix of it. You do various activities, your brain is constantly giving you a fix of this internal drug. And it really helps to have the different view of the letter formula, the line formula, and the space-filling formula with the colours and stuff like that. Have a look at it, and when you see this space-colouring formula, I instantly recognised it as a baby's giraffe, a little giraffe. It's got a little neck of carbon with the nitrogen sitting on the bottom of it, and two little oxygen feet, and a body which is the hexagon aromatic compound. So that's an end point to look at it. Now we're going to have a tour of the molecule, so you don't have to worry about taking that all in. But that's a good way of memorising what it looks like. Dopamine's one of the easier molecules to recognise, because it starts off with the basic ring, and then as you add things onto it. So with the basic ring and you add things onto it, you can wind up with the TNT. This time it's going to be slightly different. So in this ring, what we're going to do is start off with a ring of carbon. So that's six carbons all linked to each other by a bond, and a half bond between them all, a half bond at the top and below the plane of carbons. And around on that plane is also six hydrogens. So we're going to start off with benzene, that beautiful benzene ring. I think there was some German at some stage trying to imagine it, and he thought of a snake eating its own tail and came up with the benzene ring. So that's a benzene ring, a fundamental component of tar. I think it would have to be carcinogenic, not a very nice thing by itself, a liquid benzene. And I think generally toluene, you get various other versions of it, but benzene is the fundamental product. And so it's like your carbon fuel, the fuel you put in your tank, except that one generally has two or three hydrogens with every carbon. This one only has one carbon with every hydrogen. It forms a very flat ring, so carbon, as we'll encounter, tends to zigzag. It likes not to be planar. It likes to be like these triangular pyramids, the tetrahedrons, and connect in a zigzaggy way. And we'll have a bit of a zigzagginess in this molecule. But the base of the molecule is this flat six-member ring. And these flat rings, I just really like them, because they actually stick around to do things. So the various rings, like the flat rings, hold bonds in a particular place, and that's why we have a nitrogenous base in our DNA. These flat rings are they have enough lack of flexibility that they can be relied upon to be a structural scaffold to move molecules around the body in the DNA, or in this case, in the dopamine. It allows the little feet to bind, and the head of the giraffe, which is on these this wild, flexible carbon neck to actually flip around with this. Amine at the top, able to sense out and link and do its stuff as a neurotransmitter. But we're getting back to start off with our enzene ring, 6 carbons, 6 hydrogens, all flat. The carbon has 3 bonds, one to each of its neighbouring carbons, one's out, hangs out a bond to the hydrogen, and then the other bond is broken in half, and half above and half below the plane forms a little ring of electrons. So I think one of the things, if you've ever done leather work or stuff like that, there's those brass rings that you can push through with a special gun that clamps over it. It's sort of like a ring of electrons holding everything nice and perfect flat. So we've got our ring of carbon in your head, and just to colouring the carbons black, the hydrogens are white. And we're going to rotate that molecule so it's we've got the flat side of the hexagon on the table, and the two vertices are pointing just above, you know, midway, and then it's flat again. It's sort of, sometimes we have the hexagon such that there's a vertex at the top, but this is this vertex left and right, and then we've got the flat sides there. So we have we've got this hexagon of benzene, and it's standing up, and we have 2 hydrogens sitting at the table, and it's holding up. So it's not flat on the table, it's folded up from the table, and at least the way that I'm imagining it. And what we're going to do is that we can get water, and which is H2O, pick off a hydrogen, and so it's OH. So it's OH with a bond leaking out of it, and get 2 of these and replace the 2 hydrogens on the bottom of the table. So this is the 2 little feet, 2 little red feet, red socks. So it's a giraffe wearing red socks, and this is the body. Obviously, we've got to make the neck, but there's 2 of these, 2 red OHs on the bottom. Then you've got your hexagon ring of benzene, and on the top there, you've got the 2 top. I'm going to have to stick a neck. I'm going to make a neck out of 2. That's right, yeah, 2. That's right. I'm just remembering the structural formula: 2 C. H2s. So they have, so you remove the hydrogen, and on the top of the hexagon, remove the hydrogen and insert a carbon with 2 hydrogens, and that goes up at an angle and is flexible, and then off there's another bond, and onto that bond you bond a carbon with 2 hydrogens, and so that can flick and move around a little bit. And you've got another bond on top of that second carbon with 2 hydrogens. And onto that, you stick a nitrogen with 2 hydrogens on it. Nitrogen only bonds to 3. So it's, and that's called an amine. So that's a dopa amine. It's an amine, which is a doping amine, a drug amine. And so on the end of the giraffe's neck, which has got 2 vertebrae long, two carbons long, you stick a nitrogen with 2 hydrogens on it. So just going along, if you just pan back out and have a look, and I'll put it up on the net, it looks like I might even put it rotated. The one that they show in the net is not rotated the way that I would naturally rotate it. And there's probably a reason for that in terms of the convention of the chemistry, and people aren't saying, oh, that looks like a giraffe. That's just me, myself. So to have it again, we start from the bottom of the very bottom of the table. 2 hydrogens go to 2 oxygens. Those 2 oxygens go up to 2 carbons. And those 2 carbons go up to another carbon with a hydrogen and ether each of that. So that's 2 oxygens, 4 carbons, and 4 hydrogens so far. One which goes up to the tail of the giraffe goes to a carbon and hydrogen. The other one, say in this the way I'm imagining, on the left hand of the 2 carbons at the top of the ring, one of those goes up to a carbon with two hydrogens, which links to a carbon with two hydrogens, which links to a nitrogen with two hydrogens. And so counting across, there's eight carbons. There's 11 hydrogens. I may be wrong here. I'll be so embarrassed if it's wrong. 11 hydrogens. How could that possibly be right? Oh, yeah. 11 hydrogens. That's right. And one nitrogen to actually make this little thing sing along. And so that's your dopamine molecule. And if you can sort of play around with your head, with other ones you can see there's stereoisomers, or they can twist and do various things to reconfigure themselves. This one is sort of stiff at the bottom. It's got these beautiful hydrogen bonding OHs at the bottom, so it can really bond to things. On the other side, it's amine, which it actually link is actually fairly flexible, like on a distribution hose. That amine can flip and flail around the place. So that's dopamine. I hope you've enjoyed this molecular tour. We'll get on to the internet. I have to apologize at this moment, because now that I'm putting up an MP3 file, I haven't compressed the MP3 file, so it's taking three times as long to upload things and just to get things straight. So it's taking a long time. So these will appear a fair amount of time before the actual podcast and all the support material is up there. Thanks for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.